I sure
appreciated that singing. Amen.
He is my everything. He is the reason I get up in the morning. He's the reason I lay my head at night. He's the one that has changed everything. You know, I remember singing songs like Amazing Grace before, and it just sounded like a song. But then I gave my heart to the Lord, and then I sung that song. And it brought a little warmth on the inside of me that was not there before. Amen. It's the best thing I ever did was surrender my heart to the Lord. It was the greatest accomplishment. You know, people have great accomplishments in this life. They'll win a medal, they'll win this, they'll win these things. Listen to me. The greatest accomplishment you can ever do is totally 100% surrender your heart to the Lord. And it's the greatest accomplishment you can ever do in this life. Amen. I want to speak to you on a little thought tonight, believers in action. Believers in action. We want to start in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. I really miss being in service with you guys last weekend. We were streaming, going down the road, on the highway, but we were in service, in spirit, so we didn't miss being with you. Let's go ahead and go over the word. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversion is in heaven, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that is, may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. I ask you to touch each heart, Lord, each mind. I know many are tired in their flesh, Lord, from the day's labor, but Lord, may they push their tiredness to the side, Lord, and focus upon you and your word now. Lord, and we know that the prophet said a person will never be the same when they leave the service. They'll either be closer or they'll be further away, Lord. My desire, Lord, is each person listening to this service tonight will be closer to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And I'm going to go ahead and do what I always do. I'm just going to pull this off now and get it out of the way. Read your quote. It's from The Spoken Word is the Original Seed. And that was in 62. He says, "You can only serve God as you do and believe the servants that God sends. You can only serve God on earth as the God servants that sent on earth by divine inspiration interprets the word to you." And I want to go to Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13. And I've got quite a few scriptures. Not quite a few. We've got a few scriptures that we want to read to build a foundation. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent?" That's a very important one. The preacher needs to be sent. That's a lot of the problem today, is there's a lot of preachers that are preaching that were never sent.
Right.
They just want to preach. Mm-hmm. And they've caused a lot of turmoil and nonsense that goes on. And that's what that's from. We'll probably get into that a little bit later. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say amen. How does faith come? By hearing the word of God. I can't say this loud enough and clear enough. It is very important that we hear the preaching of the word of God. That is where faith comes from. How many knows that you can't even please God without faith? That's right. And it's very, I can't emphasize great enough how important we need to have confidence in the ministry that we're sitting under. Is that right? You have to have confidence that they're telling you the truth. Because if you don't have that full confidence, you're not going to focus and appreciate it in the way that you should, and you're not going to get the benefits of it. There can be a perfectly capable, devoted ministry, but it's up to the people to receive, believe, and utilize that ministry. You can have a perfectly good ministry in front of you, but if you don't receive it, if you don't utilize it, if you don't pull on it, if you don't work with it, you're going to miss out. And most people will say, well, the ministry is bad, but it's not. It's because the people won't receive what's been given to them. It's the congregation that operates the gift. You say amen. It's the congregation. Let's go to St. Matthew chapter 13 starting in 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? His brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And catch this last scripture. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. These people had the word made flesh. We're talking about Jesus Christ, God in flesh, in their midst. And they could have no miracles whatsoever because of their unbelief. I wonder how many people in that city sat around griping because they didn't have a revival. I wonder how many people were walking in sin, bound by all kinds of things in the midst of this. And while they did that, Jesus Christ walked right in their midst. And they wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't receive him. And guess what? He went on to somebody that wouldn't receive him. Amen. They did not realize what they had in their midst. Listen to me, friends. You don't realize what you've got until you've lost it. You can have something tremendous value, and you don't even realize how great of a value it was until you've lost it. How many men out there didn't realize how much of a wonderful wife he had until he lost it? How many women out there had a beautiful family, had children, a home, all these things? Maybe it wasn't the prettiest house. Maybe it wasn't the nicest car. Maybe it wasn't the greatest lawn. Maybe it wasn't these things. But because her eyes become dim to that, and she began to compare it to something else, and she was focusing on something else, and she fell to something else, and she looked to another man that presents more. Oh, look at this. And she didn't realize what she had until she lost it. And then once a person loses something of a great value, it is a tremendous turmoil on the inside because you've lost it. I know I love my dad so much. There were times we'd go out and we would build fences. We would do all these things. And I loved it. You know, I really wasn't a complainer. I'll just be honest with you. I enjoyed working with my dad. But as I got older, I'd worked all day, and my dad would want to weed eat that yard even if it was even that tall. I'm like, Dad, it does not mean weed eating. And Dad would want to do it, and it's over 100 degrees outside, and I was like, I don't want to weed eat that. I'll spend time with you in the air conditioner, but I don't want to weed eat that. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, as I sat at my computer today, I've talked to my Uncle Joe today, and he looks identical to my dad, only taller. And told me, he said, Daniel, I got back from the doctor's office today, I said, what do you go to the doctor for? He said, and he had tears in his eyes, but he said, I've got prostate cancer. I said, what? When did this happen? He told me, I said, brother, I said, you ain't fighting this battle alone. But as I saw him, I went back after lunch. I'm sitting at my computer, and I miss my dad so much. And I thought to myself, how much I would go back and weedy that. It could be 200 degrees if the Lord will keep me alive. I would weedy that grass, even if it was a centimeter, just to have a little bit of time with him. Brothers, the picture I'm trying to point is when you don't realize what you've got until you lost it. And this was a people that had an opportunity to have their needs met. This was an opportunity for healing. This was an opportunity of restoration. This was an opportunity for God to come on the scene for them. But they would not receive him. And Jesus left. And listen, he went to somebody that would receive him. Amen. One day, every person will be judged by according to their respect to their word for their hour. God chose a way, a provided way. God gave the provided way for us to get our needs met. And that is through a preaching of the word. God chose that way. Men will try different programs. They'll try this. There's one way, and that is through the preaching of the word. And listen, friends, there's one way. And if we will focus on doing it God's way, you can find your needs met. A lot of times people will fight battles trying to do it. But if you'll do it this way, say, God, give me the faith that I need to move this mountain. Yeah. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as that you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, that is it, but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And listen to what he says. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making the increase of the body of the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, even alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. The church needs a fivefold ministry.
But the fivefold ministry has got to present itself in a way, in a straight enough manner, where when people will look at that, they acknowledge my need is being met. When I'm going to the ministry, I've got this need. I'm going before the Lord. It's meeting my need. But it's got to be, the ministry's got to be there, and we've got to receive that ministry. And whenever we receive that, according to the plan of God, brothers and sisters, it will work. You don't have to understand how that engine out there works out there. But I'm here to tell you something. You know when it's working. And I'm here to tell you, in Christian walks around this world, and when you do it the right way, it works. And I'm here to tell you that when the gospel is put in the right way, it works. And there's nothing I hate so much when I go around the world and I see people that are struggling year after year after year, and there's no change in their life. And I can say, it's not working. But whenever you approach the gospel in the right way and you've got mountains and you need God to help you with the mountain, it's because people don't have faith anymore. They're just going through the motions. Brothers and sisters, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the one thing the devil will fight you every day is to not work and walk by faith. Amen. Satan will, and I've said this many times over years, if you go back and listen to it, I believe, and the Lord keeps echoing, Satan will do everything he can to get people to lose confidence in the ministry. These people that Jesus walked through their city, Jesus was right in their midst. And people say, this ministry, if we only had this evangelist come through or this guy here, then we'd have a revival. Who greater could you get than Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ himself was walking right in their midst and they wouldn't receive him. But listen, he went on down the street and there was a woman at the well that had a hunger on the inside of her, and she was going through the turmoils and all these things, but there was something inside her whenever Jesus, the same one that was in their midst, they wouldn't receive him. But Jesus went in the midst of this woman, the same Jesus, and God met her need and told her all the desires of her heart. What about the blind Bartimaeus, the man that was blind? He was going through his turmoil of all these different things. The same Jesus that walked through that city and not one miracle was made. Blind Bartimaeus went before the same Jesus and walked away with his eyesight. There was a woman with a blood issue that had such an issue with blood that she was going to die. And she saw Jesus going through there. The same Jesus, the same one that was in the midst of a people that said, there's no revival here. There's nothing to this guy. That same one came through there and she saw something. She seen something there and she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch him, that's all I gotta do is just touch him. And she reached in there and she touched him, and Jesus walked in there and he said, somebody touched me. Jesus, what are you talking about? Lots of people are touching you. He said, but I felt virtue leave me. But I'm here to tell you, Brother Tony, how many times have you been preaching? You'll be going through and you'll feel a tug going somewhere, another direction. What was it? It was somebody's faith that was reaching out and grabbing a hold of the preacher. It's not the preacher that grabbing, it's the Holy Spirit inside that preacher. It's the gift of God that God put inside that preacher. And you can pull him by your faith. You can pull him and say, I've got this need. I've got this blood issue. I've got this going on. And by your faith, you can reach over and grab that gift on the inside of that man and pull him your way right into your living room. It's by your faith. And whenever you do that, you pull him and he'll begin to preach that word, and your faith will continually increase, and it produces a love. What about whatever Jesus was going through and they said, this woman going to do, says, my daughter's dying. People said, don't bother him with that. She's already dead. My daughter's dead over here. Please help me. My daughter. The same Jesus that they rejected. The same Jesus. These people had him. You don't say how many nights they had him. You don't say how many days they had him. But it says Jesus was right with them and could not do one single miracle with them. But this woman said, my daughter's dying over here. But so leave it alone. Don't bother him. He's got more things to do. And Jesus said, let me go to her. And Jesus took a few of his disciples. They go into the room and they put all the unbelievers out. and shut themselves in with this little woman. Said, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Shut that door, and that's where we sang. He's in the house. Amen. He put the unbelievers out. Closed that door, and all of a sudden, you feel that presence of the Lord come down and saw a resurrection of them dead. But he had to get the unbelief out. And brothers and sisters, that's what we got to do today. We got to get the unbelief out. The greatest thing you can ever do is believe the Word of God. I said, well, the greatest accomplishment would be totally surrender to the Lord. You know why you will surrender to the Lord? Because you believe it. The greatest victory you can ever do in this, listen to me, young people. The greatest victory you can ever do in this life is believe the Word. When Jesus says you're healed, whenever you can believe it. The reason people were healed in that very hour is because they believed it. But the devil will try to get you to use your mind. Try to believe what this is. It's not this, brothers and sisters. It is faith. It is faith in the Word where you can pull that preacher right in your midst. The ministry is to call us to perfection. We're not talking about what you will. When I say perfection, I'm not talking about you'll never make mistakes. You never did there. As long as you've got this flesh in your body and you're walking this flesh, you always make mistakes. We're talking about maturity. Maturity in the Word, when you begin to know who you are and you know what the Word has called you to do. And do it. I'm going to stop here for just a moment, then we'll get right back to it. We're going to step out for just for a second. We talked about the tree here the other day, how a little child can have a tree and you've got a stake in the ground and you'll tie that tree up to it and you tie it and hold it in place. You know a good sign that tree is mature? It's whenever you take the strap off and the tree keeps going in the right direction. Listen here. If you have to keep putting the tree and pull it back up, put it there, I'm going to tell you it's because of immaturity. Right. Young people, you won't be considered mature. Old people, you'll be considered mature. It's whenever the preacher don't have to keep going over and tying you back to the deal, pulling you back to the deal, back to the Word. It's whenever a maturity inside you, you start going that direction because it's the right way to go. Amen? Amen? A lot of times in a Christian walk, and you do it because it's the right thing to do. You say, amen? You create good habits. You create bad habits, you create good habits. You get up and you pray and you read your Bible because it's the right thing to do. And then whenever you're doing that, you keep the right things going. Look at a marriage, a husband and wife. You have to go on dates every now and again because it's the right thing to do. But while you're doing the right thing to do, good things happen. And when you're doing the right thing of reading your Bible, good things happen. So you'll be mature. You must be considered mature. Remember this. Whenever you got that tree and you pull it up and you tie that tree up and it's going straight, you want to see if you mature? Let them pull that tree off and see how quick you go. A lot of times people will serve the Lord, kids will serve the Lord until they get 18 years old and that thing's pulled off and look at their life. Amen. We'll get back to the service now. That one's for free. You get that one. It's up to you and what you do with it. Be mature. We read about Jesus going through a city and could not do any miracles because of their unbelief. This was before he descended and ascended, but it was, catch this, it was the Word in flesh form. And what was Jesus doing? Jesus was calling the sheep. When Jesus was going through those cities, he wasn't just going through it just to do something. Jesus was a ministry. It was a manifestation of God, and it was God in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And what was he doing? He was drawing something. He was drawing the sheep. And we'll get that later on. Jesus is doing that again in the ministry of the bride, in our flesh. It is God in us. We are the ministry of this hour, our life. Amen. These people in this city felt like they were already full. These people in this city felt like they had no needs. And they that are whole does not need a physician. And if we come to a point where we say, you know, I really don't need anything. We always need something.
That's right.
We need a closer walk with God. We need a desire. I need a refilling of the Holy Spirit. I need God to work in my life. We should always have something inside of us that we're looking for something. But Jesus was going through and nobody was doing that. Jesus, in flesh, God, in flesh, in their midst. He's the God that can restore homes. He's the God that can move mountains. He's the God that can cause you to walk on water if you need to. Which I don't think Peter needed to. Maybe he did. I don't know. He's the God that can do so. He's the God that can make things happen. But because their focus was not right, and we're talking about believers in action. Not just being a believer, but being a believer in action. Where I am believing the Word of God. I am actively believing the Word of God. I am actively, when I pray in the morning, God, will you be with me today? I believe He's with me. Amen. When I go, I say, God, touch this. You know what one of the worst things people do that's too common? They'll say, well, pray for you. I try to be careful not to do that. You'll see on Facebook, I'll pray for you. Prayers. If they were to take this time stamp now and say, we're going to take the cameras over here, we're going to show you, what moment did you pray? Actually, I never did. We have to be careful when we do that, because a lot of times we will tell somebody that we're praying for, and a lot of times that person is counting on you to pray for them. A lot of times, you know what, when someone commits suicide, catch what I'm saying. When someone's committing suicides, you could be the last person that they'll ever talk to. You could be the last interaction that person will ever have while they're on this earth. What if that's the person you said, we'll pray for you. And then you just go right on about your life. What am I getting at? I'm talking about Holy Spirit leadership. Where you are being led by the Lord and you're walking by the burden of your heart and you have a purpose in your heart to encourage somebody. Listen to me. We are on a missions field. We don't just go to church and praise God. Listen, you individually are on a missions field. And your mission is leaking. God, help me spread this love to somebody. God, help me give this to somebody. Help me give this desire. Help me, God. And when you listen to what I'm saying, whenever you spend your devotion with the Lord, may your vantage point, may your focus, may everything, when you're looking at it, God, may your purpose in doing it, God, how can I be an encouragement to the body, God? Help me, God. Help me to be a help to them. Help me to have such a love inside me about me, God, when I'm around them, that I can give them hope in a day when there is no hope. God, and you will find out you will be closer to God than you have ever been. Because you're walking by a burden in your heart and you are believing. You're saying, God, help me with this sister. Help me with this woman. Help me, God. And it's a different meaning whenever the bride of Jesus Christ says, I've been praying for you. Because whenever you say it, you mean it. Amen. We are the ministry of this hour. No, it's Brother Daniel or Brother Tony. We are the ministry of that. Just as Jesus walked in their midst and couldn't do one miracle because of their unbelief, you individually can bring miracles into people's homes, in their life. You individually, your presence being there. Not because of you, because of Him. He's the one that does it. Brother Brennan talked about that healing magazine. He said, you know what I hate about this healing magazine? He said, because they put all the emphasis on man. He said, what are you without the Holy Spirit? What are you without God? You ain't nothing but a lost sinner, piece of dirt, without the presence of God. People put too much emphasis on the man. Not just the man, Brother Brennan. Man ministry, man preachers, man this, man ourselves. We have to put the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit today, God. Amen. I cannot get through this day without you. Amen. I don't care how good of a plumber, electric car salesman, bowdoor, whatever you do, brother, tester. It don't matter how good you are at that, I am not facing this day with what I can do in myself. I need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because in myself, I will fail. You can take the simplest plumbing job, and believe me, your mind can go just like that where you can't think of nothing. What's this called? I have no idea. I know what it is, but I can't think of it. That's how quick in your flesh you can fall.
That's right.
What's this tester? What's this voltage of this? I'm not try to use the words that that brother used. What's this boat? What's this right here? Then this brother uses it every single day. He can do it every single day. And just like that, he won't go remember a single thing about it. He got to where he is by the grace of God. He got to where you are individually by the grace of God. And anytime a person gets puffed up in their self and thinking they got there by themselves, they will fail. Yeah. Listen to this. If you look in the book of Deuteronomy, you talked about how God would set them free through the bondage of Egypt and how God was leading them to the land. He said, don't take this land over here because I've given it to Lot. Don't take this land. You go here. Follow the Holy Spirit. And the Lord would defeat their battles. The Lord told them after giving victories, listen to what I'm saying. He said, teach your children that it was me that did this. It was not you. It was me that do that. And teach this fear to your children. That way when they rise up, when they lay down, you talk about what I've done. And I'm here to tell you, that's where people are failing today. They don't talk about what God has done in their life. Whenever we're going through this life, we should be testifying to your children, testifying to the people around you. God set me free from Egypt. God set me free from the bondage of this sin. God set me from these things. And whenever you do that, you're putting the fear of the Lord inside their hearts. Said, you don't want to go that way. It's not a fear, afraid of God. It's a respect to God. And I'm going to tell you, that's the one thing today that there is no love, no respect. People today do not respect authority. They don't respect the officers. They don't respect the bosses. They don't respect this. They don't respect parents. It's the age we live in. People don't respect. There's no respect. You know what it is? They don't respect God. That same mentality can go into the church where they get too big for their britches. For a teenager, no, we have great teenagers here, but you're just only teenagers here, so just don't bear it. As a teenager, you go through a teenage stage, the teenager feels like they know everything. You can't teach them nothing. And listen to me, the church can get in that same situation where they're just a teenager. You can't teach them nothing. Right. I'm going to tell you something. When my teenager gets to that point, I don't throw them out. I don't think, you know what? Call the bus. You're out of here. I'll give you someone that will listen. No. It's patience. But as a parent, you look at that and you see the potential that is within them. And you see where you want them to go. And as a parent, you have to be a good parent. And a good parent is a tough parent. Sometimes. It's also a parent is a good listener. That's what I need help with. And we're talking about this as topping it with the church. We don't want to fall into a point of the church to where the church is coming to a point where you're a teenager. And you're listening to the preacher. You're listening to Dad, but are you listening to Dad? Because when you were little bitty and you looked at Dad and Dad had the big muscles, Dad did this and Dad did that and Dad said it was right. I believe it. As a small Christian, every time the preacher was preaching to you, you'd say, oh, praise God, that's awesome, that's the truth, I believe it. The prophet said it, praise God, I believe it. But eventually you come to a teenage stage. And all of a sudden, the same man that you've been taught, that you rose up with, the same God that you've been walking under, all of a sudden, you feel like you know more than that God does. Well, don't forget, I'm quiet yet. We don't want to stop at just the teenage age. We want to bust through that teenage age and be willing to be taught. The more a son or daughter will receive their father, the more he can lead them. Amen. And the more he can teach them and say, listen, these are the things I've learned. Listen to the counsel that I'm going to give you. These are the things that I've learned. And then when he tells you that, you actively believe it. Mm-hmm. When he says, if you will do this, son, do this and do this, this will happen. This is why you want to do this. You have to have confidence in the counsel. Listen to what I'm saying. Have confidence in what the counsel of your father is telling you. Because he has the life experience. And I cannot say this clear enough. It's so important that the ministry has the life experience. Amen. That way with the ministry, he is the rock of ages. Teenager, he's the rock of ages. You just think your dad's old. God is the rock of ages. He's fought every battle. He knows everything. He knows how to meet every need. He knows how to do all these things. Whenever you've got a ministry that has the life experience of this word. and they give you the counsel, and they give you the word, and you actively believe it. You'll find you miss so, you can avoid so many potholes. How many times as a son or daughter, listen to me, moms and dads, how many times have you told your son, you know there's a mud puddle over here. Don't go over this area. Stay away from there in this area. Don't go over that direction. Now that kid don't understand. He doesn't see the foresight beyond probably about right here. And you can say, don't go over there, because you know what's going on over there. A lot of times, the child don't know the dangers. You think dad's just trying to be tight. Dad's just trying to do rules. Dad's trying to do this. And that kid will go over there, and I remember one time we were at Sister Ristler's house, Barbara Ristler's. Elijah was a little bitty feller, and I told him, I said, son, stay away from this over here. You can play, but stay over here. And I was as honest and pure and clear with my instruction as I possibly knew that I possibly could as a father. I said, don't do that. Stay over here in this area. And the next thing I knew, I heard the screamiest, loud scream you ever heard in your life. And the reason I wanted him to stay over here is I knew there was a cactus over here. And I knew if it gets over there, you can count on it. You're going to get in it. And that boy went out there, and he got inside that cactus, and he was ate up in it. And we had to hold him down and take the tweezers and pull cactus out one at a time. And I'm here to tell you, it hurt. I've fallen in cactus before. They could have been avoided. I gave him the counsel. I gave him. I said, stay over here. Don't go over there. You don't have to understand why all the time. If he said stay away from there, stay away from there. Right. And because he said, no, Dad, don't know nothing. I'm just going to go over here just a little bit. I'm going to go a little further. I'm going to go a little further. I'm going to go a little further. And he got in that cactus, and it had a lasting effect. And this lasting effect, thankfully, it didn't last years upon years upon years. But it was hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. And he would cry and he would moan. He'd do all these things. Oh, the pain, the pain. But he went against the counsel of his father. And listen to me, the church, when they go against the counsel of the father, you don't have to understand why. If the word says get away from there, get away from there. Because there's some people, there's going to come a time on rapture morning, people is going to say, I don't have to do that. It don't matter. It don't matter if I have a TV or do these things. It don't matter if I do that. And they'll keep going, they'll keep going, they'll keep going. And it can be a lasting effect. Am I saying it's wrong? Was a family? No, I'm not saying that. But if you're not careful, you let that thing become the thing that controls your home. What we do in my home, as me and my house will serve the Lord, I'll tell you what we do. You do it however you want to. When me and my family do, we treat it like a tool. Whenever I pull out my hammer, I pull it out of the toolbox, I use it. Guess what I do with it when I'm done with it? I put it back in the toolbox and I close it up. I don't put it up front. I don't put it in front. Do it however you want to. You do it as you've got to seek out your own salvation through fear and trembling. But I know by experience, by life experience, I know you put that thing in front of you, your flesh will pull it to you every single time. And you will tell yourself, I'm only going to watch every once in a while for a family. Every once in a while we're going to do it. You mark it down and see if it ain't writing on the wall. Every single time that thing will put there. And rather than praying and seeking God and meditating on the Word of God and seeking that Holy Spirit in your home, every single time you'll go straight to it. If you're going to do that thing, put it in the toolbox. Close it up. That's Brother Daniel's counsel. Well, you let Brother Tony got it however he wants to. He's the pastor of the church. But you want Brother Daniel's counsel? Treat it like a toolbox. Because I'm telling you, in yourself, in your flesh, this flesh will turn that way every single time. But if you'll push yourself away from it, Brother Tony said this one time, and I thought it just hit home really well. He said, you want to see if you're addicted to a drug? Get away from it for a little bit. You watch somebody that's hooked on cigarettes, and you take that cigarette or Copenhagen snuff, You take that away from them for just a little bit, and all of a sudden they start getting irritable. They say, I gotta have this. You want to see if it's an addiction? Pull yourself away from it for a little bit. And you see if that don't bring an irritability out of you. I want to ask you, is that the Holy Spirit inside you that makes you irritable? Is it the Holy Spirit that makes that man need that cigarette? Fight for it. Get that cigarette. Fight for that Copenhagen. Fight for it. Go watch that movie. Fight for it. I'm here to tell you, God won't do that. And I can tell you from life experience, if you will pull away from those things, the more you pull away from and make room for God, the more God will come. Amen. You guys are quiet tonight. My goodness. You still love me? Well, I got one amen. I think that's my wife. She has to love me. I'm going to try to get, I know we're getting close to overtime, but a couple things I want to get. And they that are whole don't need a physician. Since this people felt like they didn't need healed, filled, and restored, the ministry moved on to believers that would receive it. I don't want him to have to leave me to go someone else because I wouldn't receive him. I want to give him rest. I want to give him rest in my home. I want to give him rest in my heart. And I want to work that brother to death. I'm talking about our pastor. I want to work him to death. What do you mean by working to death, Brother Daniel? I mean, I want to pray. When I'm praying, God, get a hold of that pastor. Minister to his heart, God. Help him, Lord, that he can seek your face, God. God, minister to him. Because when I'm doing, just like during the preaching, I feel that tug. I feel that when people say amen, you can say it with this all you want to. Sometimes you don't feel the tug. And then times you don't hear someone say amen, but you can feel the tug. What is it? It's faith. I want to be where I am pulling on that brother and I am pulling him. That way that brother can have all the desires of his heart to do something else. He's going to go garden his yard, whatever he's going to do. And I feel that tug again. I got to go pray. He's going to go work on this. I feel that tug again. I got to go pray. If he was to only know that, Brother Daniel. I can't get nothing done. I'm trying to do it. I want to work that brother to death. And you do the same for me. For your ministry, you pray for your ministry and you see God help them. And listen to me, work your father to death. Work your mother to death. Now, I don't mean by being lazy and not cleaning the house. I don't mean by lazy and not doing this. I'm talking about you utilize them as a father. Utilize her as a mother. Utilize her in the position that she has. Because the more you can utilize them, you can get the benefits of a father and a mother. Listen to what I'm saying. It's a sad thing to see families that don't have a father or a mother that they can utilize. That's why the world is what it is right now, because they did not have a father that could teach them how to be a man. It's a sadder thing to have a father in the home, but they don't utilize him as a father and he doesn't act like a father. And it's just as bad, if not worse, as the guy that don't even have a father in the home. Say amen. Same thing for a mother. It's sad to see families where a dad has to be mommy and papa that because there's no mother in the home. It's even sadder when you've got a mama in the home, but she doesn't act like a mama, and they don't receive her as a mama. He doesn't act like a father, and they don't receive him as a father. And look at the church. So many times you'll see a church that will have a pastor that will stay with the word and preach the word. But you have to receive him as a pastor. You have to receive him in the position that he's at. Because if you don't receive him, it'll be just like you don't have one. If you don't receive your father in the capacity of a father, you're not going to get the benefits of having a father. And listen, I'm trying to build this up to see we've got a message. But if we don't utilize the message, if we don't receive it, the message, and what it is, we won't receive the benefits of it being in its position of being the message of the hour. We may as well be a Baptist down the street if we don't utilize the message. The message is what's going to give you rapturing faith. The message. The fivefold ministry is what's going to bring you to the unity of the faith. But if you don't utilize it, if you don't respect it, if you don't put it in its position of where it's supposed to be in your respect, you may as well not even have a five-fold ministry. If you don't, if you're not going to utilize it and receive it in the capacity of receiving as God gave it to you as a gift. You know, people gave a lot of gifts the other day. you give somebody a gift, and they say, oh, thanks. Imagine this being a gift that you did tremendous sacrifice to get this gift. It was something that you labored many, many days. You sacrificed. You had to work really hard. You had to get on your knees and scrub floors. You had to do all these things to utilize. I'll tell you a little story. It's a true story. I come from a poor home, poor family. I remember laying on my bed. And you'd feel like it would be so cold that the pots would always freeze, and anything that was milk that was left out on the counter would freeze. And it was so cold at night, you'd blow fog out, and it was super, super cold. And they had a time of Christmas at our school. And I remember at this Christmas, you had to draw names. And whoever you drew a name for, you'd have to give them a present. And I remember I drew the name, and we didn't have much money. But I remember my mom, she took, our old house was just an old house. But my mom worked real hard, and she pitched a whole bunch of pennies and nickels and dimes, and she got enough money to get a little bitty car. And mom cooked a bunch of cookies. And I remember I took this, and we didn't have money for wrapping paper, so mom put in a little pillowcase. And I remember I took that to school, and when I was at school, I gave it to that kid. I was real proud of it because I knew how hard my mom got the work to get the pennies and the nickels and things, and she bought that, and I knew she stayed up real late, and she cooked those cookies, and I helped her. I was with her. I helped her cook them. And I remember we took that gift to school, and I remember that kid looked at that gift, and he looked at it, and he saw everybody else got really cool toys and stuff like that, and saw this little bitty car and the cookies like that, and he said, I got this junky car. I got these nasty cookies. I don't want these things. And threw them on the floor. And I saw the sacrifice that was given to make that possible for them to have that. And it was given to them. And he said, I don't want this thing. This is yucky. This is trash. And threw it away. And I remember I sat at my desk and I cried like a little baby and seeing that. Because I saw the sacrifice that took place to give that. And it was given to them. And they said, I don't want this. He just threw it away. I'm going to tell you there's 10 times more of a sacrifice of what God has done down through the ages of believers that were saying, I'm not going to go the way the world asks for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Everybody else can do what they want. We're going to do it right. Down through the ages, they would serve the Lord the best that they could until the end of their days, and they had a baton in their hand, and they reached over and handed that baton to somebody else. And somebody else would take that same baton, that same gospel, and they would walk with that gospel because great sacrifice was given for them to have that. And they would walk with that gospel, and they appreciated it, and they gave it to somebody. I'm going to ask you, if God's reaching the baton to you, are you ready to grab the baton, or are you looking at something else? A lot of the old believers are going home. The generals that God had on this earth that served the Lord, they're going home. Who's going to carry this gospel on? Who's going to take this and keep showing this is what's right? God has always had a believer, but you know what? It's someone that believes the word. I want to appreciate the gift God gave us. God gave gifts to the church. God, help me appreciate that gift. And help me to be the best at it that I can be. I'm going to read one quote and then we'll try to quit. The Bible says, now, this unwise virgin is a woman. She's a church. But she is unwise, see? She has just been dilatory. And yet she's called herself the bride. And remember, everything runs in a three for perfection. Three is the number of perfection. God's offices, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God the Father was a God that lived in the pillar of fire. He was trying to draw Israel to him. They wouldn't come. God the Father lived in the Son, which made him God the Son, the same God, express image of God, the seed of God manifest, trying to draw the people to him. They crucified him. The Holy Ghost
is the same God that was at the beginning in the Son of God, and now here, the other office of God in the last days, living in the church, trying to bring the word, the spoken word, like the other two offices did, to the people, and they reject it. It's the same thing. It's the three offices or manifestations of one God in action, and God in his people today in action is God in action. See, it's God in the people. I want to be a believer in action, where I'm actively believing the word. This man, when Jesus got off the ship, he seen him. He was living in the tombs, had chains on him because he couldn't be bound. He'd break the chains. People hated him. They wanted to be around him. And this man came to Jesus, and he said, "I want to be free." And Jesus set that man free from an unclean spirit. How many people ridiculed him, made fun of him, and said, "I hate that guy. I hate him when he comes around. I hate him when they do that." Their attitude toward him, "Get him out of here." But when he came in the midst of Jesus, he set him free. And whenever he set him free, he went over and sat on a rock, and the people that knew him as being bound, they went over to him. They saw him, and they said, "How did this happen?" Legion cast at him. All the spirits got it. Remember, the spirits wanted to come out. They said, "Let us go into the swine." He cast the spirits into the swine, and they died. And this man sat on a rock, and the people saw him set free, and they tried to say, "Get him out of here. We don't want him around here." And Legion wanted to go with Jesus. And he says, "No, you go and tell people that you've been set free. You go tell people that you are free." And as we close right now, I want to encourage you, you go tell somebody that you've been set free. Your testimony. Your testimony is the greatest thing you have. It's one of the greatest weapons you have. You talk about what God is doing in your life. Let's all stand. I don't want to talk about what God just did a long time ago. What's God doing today in your life? You want to be an encouragement to somebody? Let your light shine. Brother Tony, I'm going to ask you to come on forward whenever you're ready, brother. Be an active believer. And receive the counsel. Receive the word. Receive the capacity of it that God has given to you. And when you can do it, the more you can receive it in the capacity of what it is, the more benefits you'll get of it. That same as father, that same as mother, that same as brother, the same as wife. The more you can receive your wife in the capacity of wife, the more you get benefits of it. The more you can receive your husband in the capacity of a husband, you get the benefits of it.
That's right.
You know, a lot of times we do foot washing. A lot of times we want to be the one that washes our brother and sister's feet. Sometimes you got to let somebody else wash your feet. Sometimes you have to allow somebody to serve you. Sometimes you have to allow somebody to say, allow me to wash this off your feet. Allow me to get this. Because when you walk, sometimes you get dirt on your feet. Allow them. Don't be starchy and say, "You ain't touching my feet. You're not doing that. I'm not, you know what I mean? Allow them to minister to you. Allow somebody. Allow the ministry to wash your feet. And you be willing to wash somebody else's feet. Be willing to get down on your knees and serve your brother and your sister. God, help us to have such a love for one another that we want to serve one another. When someone comes to my house, it drives me crazy if I see a brother or sister without a drink. I'll go over there and I'll grab a cup. "You want a drink of tea? You want some tea? You want the tea?" They'll probably get annoyed at me. If I want some tea, I'll go get some tea. I want you to feel welcome. I want you to feel served. I want whenever you come to my home, you feel valued. You feel that you are appreciated because you are the body of Christ. God, give us that attitude that we can do that on a daily basis, that we can treat Jesus Christ that same way, that I will serve him in such a manner that he won't want to leave. I make Jesus feel so welcome in my home, he won't want to leave. Yeah.
That it would be a, he don't want to go on to the next meeting down there to blind Bartimaeus. Not that he don't love blind Bartimaeus, but because Brother Daniel is showing such an appreciation that I'm playing the song that makes him happy. I'm cooking the chicken that makes him happy. I'm doing everything that makes him happy. I know what makes him happy because I've got a message that tells me what makes him happy. And because I'm conducting myself in such a way that I'm utilizing the program that God gave us of the message of the hour, and I'm conducting myself in such a way that Jesus will say, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go over there. I want to stay here because I feel so welcome in this home. Yeah. Help us to do that on a daily basis. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you so much, Lord. I love my friends here, Lord. Lord God, I want to treat you so well, Lord, on a daily basis, Lord, every step that I take in this life, Lord, that you won't want to leave me, Lord. I know it's a carnal way of looking at it because you can be at all places, Lord. But Lord, in this point of view I'm trying to give tonight, Lord, help me to make you feel so valued in my presence, Lord, that you will see the sacrifice. Lord, I remember one time I was in Honduras and I was so full because I'd been to different houses and they'd all fed me, Lord. And I was so full I couldn't eat another bite, Lord. And I went inside that house and I told them, I said, I can't eat another bite. I've already ate. And I saw this fish that this little sister had cooked on her little clay stove, Lord. And I saw the sadness on her face. I said, oh, wait, I am hungry. And Lord, I remember as I was eating that fish, Lord, and I was seeing the smile on her face, Lord. Because she made a tremendous sacrifice, Lord. It was a gift, Lord. And Lord God, it was the best tasting fish I ever ate, Lord. Not just because it tasted good, Lord, but because I saw the sacrifice that was given, Lord. It was an act of love, Lord. It was a ministry of love. Oh God, may we conduct ourselves, Lord, that we'll go out and catch the fish, so to speak, Lord. That we'll put it on the clay stove, God, and we'll do this tremendous sacrifice, God, because we want you to stay a little longer, Lord. Oh, God, walk this building tonight, Lord. Knock on our hearts afresh, Lord Jesus. We want to make you feel welcome, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. Inhabit our praise tonight in Jesus' name.
Thank you. You know, Jesus had, or Judas had the best pastor there ever was.
That's right.
And you look what happened to him. You know, I was reading in the scriptures there where the first church age, Ephesus, you know, they were the ones that was closest because that's the fire come to them, and he said to them, "You've relaxed." And he told them, he said, "You repent. You repent of the fact that you've relaxed."
Yes.
And he said, "If you don't, I will come and I will remove the candlestick," which is the church.
Yes.
"From out of its place," his place.
Yes.
There are cities in this nation that will never have a message church in it.
That's right.
They'll never have revival because of the way they treated the prophet when he was here. And you can talk to ministers that travel around those a lot more than I do. They can tell you the names of those cities. Or cities like that. So, just, you know, look how serious that was. Just from relaxing a little bit from their fervent walk with the Lord, he said, "You need to repent of that." And I don't think that we're any different today. We would be able to escape from that same pronunciation that if we find ourselves in the same position as to being relaxed and cooling off. You know, God works on both ends. And you can come to church and you have something on your heart. And it could be something that you know you should surrender to the Lord and you haven't done it. And when that minister speaks that to you, you already know. You already know. If God's speaking to you over the ministry, something he's already been talking to you in your heart. Or maybe it's a need that you have, and you know that. I don't think we've ever been oblivious. Go, "Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that I needed that," or "I didn't know." No, you know. We're not oblivious to the things because God is speaking to us, not just from the pulpit, but in your own walk. He was telling you that's how it works. And begins to convince you, and ministry speaks those things and to you. We're also not ignorant of the devices of Satan.
That's right.
Says the scriptures.
Yes.
And you know when he comes meddling. You know when he starts talking to you and he starts trying to get you to compromise. You know these things. And so God wants us to be perfect. Brother Daniel's kind of, you know, this to me, what he heard tonight was really good come along after Sunday morning. And he wants us to be perfect, and perfect is complete. And as I was saying Sunday morning, having all those virtues, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And if you have those in you and they abound,
yes,
they'll make you to where you'll never fall. How many would like to be that? You'd
yes.
never fall. So whatever Satan sends your way tomorrow, he'll not have victory over you because you have those things, those seven virtues in you, and they abound. And this is God has put in the church the ministry to bring the church to that place where we have all of those virtues in us. Because as I said Sunday, Jesus wants to live through us. And if he's going to come and live through us, there are going to be times in your life where you need to have knowledge. You need to have temperance.
Right.
You need to have patience. You need to have godliness, because that's the way he's going to work.
Right.
So he wants you to come to that. And this is what we should be seeking diligently, like Peter said and Brother Branham there at the end, saying, "Let whatever I lose, no matter what I maintain, just make sure that I maintain this, because this is what we need." Jesus said, because when those situations arises, I don't need them to see me. You don't need them to see you. You need them to see Jesus. Because he said, "If I be lifted up," right? "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." Jesus said, "Unless you receive this kingdom, this word, as a little child." And you know, Brother Branham said it this way, "Such as will learn." We are always in need. As Brother Daniel said, we're always in need of help from the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said this, "Blessed are poor in spirit.
That's right.
When you're poor, you need a handout. Mm-hmm. You need somebody to help you. And Jesus said, it's a blessed thing that you're poor in spirit. And that when you rise up each morning, as our brother so wonderfully put, to realize that I need God today.
Yes.
Blessed are you that are poor in spirit. You know, entertainment is a big problem.
Yes.
And I think Satan has pulled one over on message people because message people spend a lot of time in entertainment.
Yes.
And one of these days, if I can find the things that Brother Graham said about it, we don't need entertainment.
No.
And yet, there's a lot of time spent with entertainment. It could be TV. You throw your TV out, still have your computer, do the same thing.
Right.
Throw your computer out, still have your phone.
Right.
Video games is entertainment.
That's right.
All of those things. And we really need to look at those things and say, you know what? Are they drawing me closer to God? And if you can't say yes, you need to do like Brother Daniel said. You need to take that and you need to put it away.
Yeah.
And only use it for a specific thing that the Holy Spirit allows you to do. Because he's right. If it's there in front of you, it pulls. We all know this. We all know this. And so, it's good work. We'll read something to you out of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. It's talking about the ministry now. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief.
Amen.
For that is unprofitable for you. I had a conversation with my wife, I think it was yesterday, and I said, a man can do a lot, he can go a long ways, he can give out a lot as long as he knows it's appreciated. Best way you can show appreciation is to receive and put to use the counsel that's given. And I've said this before. You know, those men that David said, oh, I wish I could just have a drink of water from that well. And just at the mention, he didn't command nobody. He didn't say, you guys, you go do this. He just said, I just would love to have this. And these men took off and hazarded their lives to go get that drink of water. And David recognized the sacrifice that they had went through. And he said, far be it for me to take this and drink this. And he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord for the character of those men. But the character of those men that just at the mention, you know, and I've said this before, even as a dad or as a ministry, just to mention something, and the people should say, I'm getting it. I'm going for it. I'm going to be like those guys, and I'm going to fight through whatever, because just at the mention to say, you know, I think we should do this. You following
me? Yes.
That all of us need to be
yes.
in tune
yes.
with the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? It's the slightest little member in your body is sitting there watching for those markers to come along and say, the rest of the body needs me to do this.
Yes.
And it'll go to work.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there watching for those things. And we, each one of us, have something we need to watch for.
Yes.
Because God can speak to you, and you'll go right into action, and the entire body of Christ will be more healthy because of what you have done. And I'll end by saying this. They overcame. Brother Dan said, you need to tell people what God's, that you're free, what God's in. And they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the what? The word of their testimony.
Amen.
If you want to overcome, start telling somebody.
Amen.
I traveled another day, and I spent I don't know how many hours. There's a 14-hour trip there and back, or 13 and a half, something like that. most of that time, share the word. You talk about a revival.
Amen.
Overcoming power. Then, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. How many appreciate what God spoke to you tonight?
Amen.
I know we're just a little bit later than normal, but you know what? When the Lord speaks, it's always good.
Amen.
We'll sing just for a moment as we go.
To me.